With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. Cutting through the clutter, this is the Misty Winston Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hey there. Welcome to the Misty Winston Show here on TNT Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in, as always. Just a heads up, apparently this week will be my last week at this time slot. Starting on Monday, you're going to be able to catch the show at 6 p.m. Eastern. So make sure you mark your calendar, set an alarm, whatever you need to do, write it on your hand. I don't know. I'm really excited to move to that time slot. I'm old. And this is late for me. I'm not really that old, but I feel old. I'm always very tired. So that's exciting to be able to move to the 6 p.m. Time slot. So definitely check that out. As my friend Trey said earlier today on Twitter, different bat time, same bat channel. So yes, we will be moving to the 6 p.m. Eastern time slot. So do not miss it. Also, I recently created a Twitter list that includes my fellow TNT presenters. Not all of them. I'm still working on it, trying to hunt people down, find out what their handles are. I don't think all of the presenters are even on Twitter, which good for you. Good for you if you're not. It is a cesspool of craziness. But so if you want to go and follow that, though, that would be a really easy way to make sure that you keep track of all of the TNT presenters. My handle is at Sarcasm Stardust. You can find that there and follow the whole gang here at TNT Radio. Okay, before we bring in our guest, guess what? Oh, another one. Another Norfolk Southern train has derailed. No, I'm not joking. Unfortunately, I'm not kidding. It's not an April Fool's Day joke. This is real. So this one happened in Newcastle, Pennsylvania, earlier today. This is an article from WGAL, which is a local news station there. It says, a Norfolk Southern train derailed overnight in western Pennsylvania. 9 rail cars out of more than 200 went off the tracks around midnight in Newcastle, Lawrence County, along Montgomery Avenue, near Lafayette Street, according to the Newcastle Fire Department. None of the cars were carrying hazardous materials, according to fire officials. Paraffin wax, commonly used in making candles, as well as salt, spilled during the derailment. The fire department says those substances are not considered hazardous. Early Thursday morning, Norfolk Southern provided a statement to WGAL sister station Pittsburgh's Action News 4, writing in part, quote, 9 cars derailed outside of Newcastle, Pennsylvania. There were no hazardous materials involved and no injuries have been reported. Our crews responded immediately and are actively working at the site, end quote. So how about you get some well-trained employees to run the railway? How about we do that, Norfolk Southern? They're a hot mess. I don't know how they're still in business at this point. It is absurd to me. This is, I think, maybe the fourth in the last, a couple months, Norfolk Southern train derailment. That is absurd. It's crazy to me that they are able to get away with this level of incompetency. And frankly, it's not even incompetency, it's greed. The idea that they don't have properly staffed systems and they have overworked employees who are exhausted and underpaid and not trained properly and all of those things, it all boils down to greed. They would much rather, sock away some money for that, the inevitable reality that they are going to over and over again have these derailments and they're going to have to pay these measly fines. When you take into account the number or the amount of profit that they are bringing in every year, they don't care about these fines. They don't care one way or another about any consequences because it is always very minimal. There is no real accountability in these situations. They're right now probably still in business. They're working to get that cleaned up as fast as possible so that railroad can be used again immediately. So, and there will be no hand-wringing. There's going to be no questioning about what they are going to be required to do moving forward in order to make themselves safer. This is, we've talked about this on the show so many times. I need to get my friend Mark from Railroad Workers United back on. This is something that we absolutely cannot allow to continue. This is just ridiculous. This is going to destroy communities across. It is already destroying communities across the country in various different ways. There's absolutely no reason why in the United States of America in the year 2023, we can't figure out how to make our rail system safe and effective. I mean, come on, y'all. It's like we forget that we're Americans or something. And that's not to say I'm not in any way speaking about American exceptionalism here, but we can do some pretty cool stuff. I mean, we've managed to do some some really cool things throughout the course of history. So I don't think that it's beyond us to create a safe and effective rail system so that we can properly transport goods across the country in a safe way that doesn't, you know, kill anybody or poison anybody or, you know, any of those things that seem to be happening on a regular basis. So I'll keep an eye on this, see what happens, if anything. Probably not. This will just, you know, disappear from, I don't even think it is making headlines, but it'll just disappear. But we have Alex from United for East Palestine coming back on the show soon. I don't remember what day we booked him for, but soon. So we'll be having a continuing conversation about this moving forward. And I'm going to get Mark back on from Railway Workers United. We need to continue those conversations, I think, in my opinion. Okay, don't forget, you can follow me over on the tweeters at Sarcasm Stardust and check out the Substack, mistywinston.substack.com. You can find a write-up every day of the guest that's on for the day. So you can find, follow, and support their work as well. I think that's important. So definitely check that out. Free to subscribe, and you can keep up with all the guests that we have on this show. And also, as always, do not forget, TNT is so cool. They really appreciate activism. They are eager to help support and promote it. So if you have an upcoming community event, rally, march, festival, fundraiser, whatever, that could do with some free publicity, TNT Radio wants to promote it for you. Just visit the What's On events calendar tab on the TNT Radio website, which is tntradio.live, and you can submit your event details, and then we will help you get the word out right here on TNT Radio.
Unbiased and reliable news coverage.
It's the news I trust.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, she's back. My guest for the hour is my friend Shanda Masta. She's an activist. She's a host at Roar Media. She hosts the show Trailer Park Pundit, Beauty and the Boomer, CC Gals, and To Hell and Back. So she's very busy. I don't know. I think you may need to pick up another show, my friend. I don't think you're busy enough. So thank you for coming back. I always appreciate our conversations.
I do too. Thanks so much for having me. And I'm congratulations on your new time slot. Last time I stopped excited. By, we talked about how late it was. You know, so, yay! Drive at 6. That's fun.
Yes. Well, I mean, and I feel like such a turd for being like, oh, I'm so old and tired. I'm only 41. That's not old, but I have kids and I have to be up
You're
early in the morning
to
deal with kids. Yes, I am tired. I am. I'm not going
to
lie. So I'm very, very excited that we'll be moving to an earlier time slot. I think that's going to, and it'll be a lot, honestly, a lot easier for me to book the show as well. 11 p.m. Is tough for a lot of guests that I would generally have on. So that's going to make that a lot easier. Okay. Enough about me. I don't like talking about me. Okay. So there's a lot going on.
a lot. I know. Where do you go? What do you talk about? There's just so much.
I know.
I can do 2-hour spot and there's so much that I leave on the cutting room floor that I should have talked about, but maybe I didn't have enough time to research it or get the information I needed. You know, all week I'm doing that, pushing stuff to the back burner because we're just living in insane times. I mean, just the last 2 days alone, you had Trump, you know, cleaning up CNN. Elon Musk is out there getting new CEOs. Gina Ninkovich, whatever. She's suing Fox now.
Fox.
Like, this is.
Yeah.
There's such crazy stories.
Yeah. So I'm going to be on Fault Lines tomorrow morning. If anybody is awake at 9:15 a.m., I'm going to be on Fault Lines radio on Sputnik to talk about Nina. I can't say her last name. I'll butcher it. Whatever. Scary Poppins. That lady.
Scary Poppins. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking about her lawsuit against Fox News, which is ridiculous. Of course, she's insane. But I actually, can we talk about the Trump thing? Because I don't normally spend a whole lot of time on Trump or electoral politics, but that
me
was
neither.
Hilarious
me
to me. Yeah. And when I was on last night, I talked about it briefly, but I hadn't had a chance to watch it all. I was busy and I was only catching like, you know, bits and pieces. And so I finally had a chance to watch it all. And it was even worse than clips. You know what I mean?
Well,
like, what did you
reaction.
Think of that? That was crazy. Yes.
Yeah, the reactions from all of the liberal media. I mean, Jake Tapper's losing his mind. AOC is just completely beside herself. How could they do this? And ultimately, it's what we've been reporting and saying for the last, 6 years now. CNN has always been about the ratings. They've always loved Trump, no matter what they say, because he's good for ratings. The ratings have been in the toilet now for years and getting worse. So, you know, I could see them pandering and doing this, you know, over and over.
Yeah. Yes, for sure. I mean, listen, they love CNN, love Trump. Of course they want to. I'm not convinced that this wasn't a completely planned thing in order for them to make him look better. I don't know if Caitlin, whatever her name was, she was terrible. Just chose her and threw her under the bus. Yeah. Did they just choose her and throw her under the bus because they knew she would make him look better? Yeah. Because she was awful, like awful to the point where it's like, is this on purpose? Like, it's so bad.
We've all watched The Apprentice. Trump is not afraid to burn somebody down on live national TV, you know? So, yeah. And ultimately, come on, they focused on Trump's empty podium in 2016 while there was literally 100,000 people at rallies for Bernie Sanders. So is this shocking CNN? No, it's not.
No.
And I expect, you know, they'll kind of get in on it. MSNBC and these other two, they'll get in on it too. You watch. But when it comes to platforming people like, oh, I don't know, RFK Jr., boy, they're not getting very much time, are they? Where's his town hall?
No, there's going to be no RFK Jr. town hall. But AOC makes me sick. Like, I know that's a regular thing for me. I think she is just a horrible human being. But this is disgusting. She's out there prancing around being like, oh, you put sexual assault abuse victims, like you put them up to like be laughed at and mocked. Girl, where were you when Tara Reid came forward? You didn't have a word to say about that. And instead, you supported, endorsed, stumped for her abuser and ignored her, and you continue to support her abuser. Joe Biden is credibly accused of sexual assault, period. Credibly. By not just credibly, one person, but I mean, come on. And she's out here like, oh, I care so much about sexual abuse victim. No, you don't. Shut up. Ugh.
Right.
It's so gross. Well, Shanna.
It's so gross. And then on the other hand, I mean, this woman who came forward, there is a lot of information out there that this was a paid for targeted attack on Trump. I mean, the fact that there's no evidence, and how could there ever be, right? Supposedly there's a smoking gun, but she don't want anybody to see it. I mean, I question all this, and I don't side left or right anymore. I hover above the duopoly, right? And I just see it for what it is. And I, you know, yes, Trump, we all know Trump, grab her by the, you know what, you know, we're used to that from Trump. So this, no, it's not, the allegation's not a shocker, but what they did, how they moved the laws and changed the laws in order to attack Trump this way, that's shocking. Yeah. And who the judge was, this is the same judge that we have known about for some time in our little circles, you know, with what he did for Chevron in the Donziger case.
Yes. Yes. And listen, I'm like you. I don't, Donald Trump's a despicable person, and I have absolutely zero doubt whatsoever that he has committed acts of sexual violence, sexual assault. Yeah. I mean, that's just like, don't come for me. That's just my opinion about him as a human being. And I mean, just based on his statements that he has made in the past, I don't think there's any question that he thinks that he is entitled to certain things and that he is above the law and that he, I mean, when you reach that level of power, I think that that is a very common thing. I think that sexual abuse in those circles is incredibly common. Because all of those people think that they are above the law, and they think that they're entitled to things. You know what I mean? So I have no doubt that Trump has done some really terrible things. But this whole situation is, like you said, very shady. None of it really makes sense. And frankly, I'm tired of all of this being weaponized because it diminishes actual legitimate claims of sexual abuse, and it just muddies the waters, and it makes it so much more difficult for survivors to come forward and speak, especially against powerful people, because there are people who genuinely do want to come out and have those conversations about people in positions of power, and they're terrified to do so because of the way Tara Reid gets treated, because of the way these things are weaponized in the media, and the way that they victim blame and destroy people's character and destroy their lives to protect power. And so, I mean, all of this, this whole situation in this, the way that this stuff is used, we've seen it be used against Julian Assange. I mean, this is something that they use on a regular basis. So, and it just makes me sick. The whole thing just makes me really sick.
Yeah, it is nauseating. You know, I got to meet the Shiptons when they were in the Seattle area for the premiere of Ithaca. And oh my gosh, Missy, what amazing, incredible people. I just left so heartbroken and so gut sick. Like, I had been punched in the gut, because you can literally feel their pain and desperation, you know?
Yeah. Yes. And for those who don't know, she's talking about John and Gabriel Shipton, who are Julian Assange's brother and father, or yeah, father and brother, respectively. And they were just recently touring the country with the documentary film Ithaca, which was co-produced by Gabriel. It features John as well as Stella Assange, who is Julian Assange's wife. And it just gives a behind the scenes look at their battle to free Julian and to save his life. And I think it's a very important film to watch, because I think that one of the most effective things they've done in the Assange case is dehumanize him. And now they have disappeared him from public consciousness. And so I think that this film really provides a sense of humanity back to the situation that has been removed, unfortunately. And I think that that's a very necessary viewpoint. He's a person. He's being tortured to death for telling the truth. And he's a brother and a father and a son and a husband and a person. And I think that that's very much been lost. And they are the nicest people. And John has a wicked sense of humor.
He had me die laughing. He was sitting by himself in the theater early in the day. They just got there. And you know me, I just went over and plopped right down next to him and just started cracking jokes. And, you know, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? And we actually got to have dinner. And so we got to spend a lot of time, a couple of hours with him. And just picking his brain about, you know, what does this mean for the rest of us? Like, what does this mean for truth if we continue to allow this to happen? And these journalists that rode on Julian's coattails and released the same information, who don't even get an eye batted at them for what they supposedly had done. And it all goes back to them weaponizing these sexual allegations in the very beginning, you know? And so that's how I related and conflated to, you know, the Trump thing too, because that's always weaponized.
It is, because it's very effective. It's incredibly difficult to fight against those kinds of charges. You were almost immediately seen as guilty. There is no discussion. You don't get to provide any evidence for your innocence. It's just decided. And that's really unfortunate. And it's why I do not, and people can come for me on this if you want, I absolutely am not a believe all women kind of person. I don't believe all women. I trust but verify. I'm not going to denigrate any women who comes forward with claims of assault, but I'm not going to just blanket blindly believe all women, because I know how this thing is used against people. So, okay, we have to take a quick break. Hang tight. We're going to be right back with more in just a couple minutes right here on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Dirk Pohlman.
Why is it that we don't understand Chinese culture? I would say to a large degree, we do not get a picture. And also some of the most important misunderstandings, misconception, or even disinformation that we hear about China.
The West doesn't understand that China is a sovereign civilization state, having a natural influence in her region. Sovereign means independent and having her own agency as expressed by her ruling class, her intelligentsia, and her people. Civilizational means that China has her own hierarchy of values, which sometimes coincide with the hierarchy of values of the West, but sometimes doesn't coincide with the hierarchy of values from the West. And that hierarchy of values is coming, of course, from her own history and culture. China has 36 centuries of history, and by a larger definition, China has 50 centuries of continuous cultural matrix.
The Dirk Pohlman Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Google and Facebook, they don't sell you anything. They sell you.
Facebook constantly manipulates their users. They do it by the things that they insert into the news feeds. They do it by the types of posts they allow their users to see.
It's what Google and Facebook are doing on a regular basis, by suppressing stories, by steering us towards other stories rather than the stories we're actually seeking. That's the real manipulation that's going on.
I was a design ethicist at Google, where I studied how do you ethically steer people's thoughts.
It will always favor one online music service over another and one candidate over another.
Google and Facebook has the power to undermine democracy without us knowing that democracy has been undermined.
There's what I call the creepy line, and the Google policy about a lot of these things is to get right up to the creepy line but not cross it.
Google crosses the creepy line every day.
Discover how society is manipulated by Google and Facebook. The creepy line at salemnow.com.
You're with Misty Winston on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right. We are here with Shanda Masta, and we are just ranting. We're just having a rant session. It's necessary every now and then to just have a good rant. And we were talking a little bit before the break about Assange and, you know, the Shiptons and how, you know, they weaponize the sexual assault allegations against you can see it across. This is why I don't believe all women. And I know people are going to get mad at me for saying that on the left. I do not care. You can come for me on this. I 100% am not at all ashamed of saying that, because I've seen the way that it's weaponized. I've seen it happen against Julian Assange. I've seen the way that that has been used to create this comic book villain out of him. That is a it's now a third rail issue for a lot of people to support Julian Assange when they should, regardless of any other circumstances. But because there is that accusation laid against him, regardless of whether there's any truth to support it, regardless of the fact that the case against that has been dropped numerous times, despite the fact that we have evidence supporting the fact that the United States was behind those accusations. I mean, it doesn't matter. All they hear is the accusation, and then it becomes a third rail issue for those people. And that's what I'm talking about. And to see the fact that Tara Reid hasn't been given a fair shake, and that people like AOC ignore her and then prance around on national TV when it's politically advantageous for them to do so, pretending as if they support victims, that's disgusting. That's kids in cages all over again, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, when you say, you know, I don't believe all women, Amber Heard was a classic case of I don't yes. believe all women. And I yes. covered that case, and that case still will not go away because it's being fed to the media on two different sides. I just saw, I think it was Hollywood Insider, is trying to pin Johnny Depp for why Johnny Depp and the Saudi Arabia, you know, connection, our new BFFs. Like, ugh. I mean, they just are trying to smear him. And then, of course, she left Hollywood. No, she didn't leave Hollywood. She got kicked out of Hollywood. But, yeah, you know, yeah. I don't believe all women. But I, you know, because I want to hear your story. I want to hear your accusations. I want to hear, yes. you know, timelines and proof. And I love all of that, you know, court TV type of stuff. And I've sat down and had conversations with Tara Reid. You know, I know her story. When she did report it, they covered it up. You know, I mean, ultimately, yeah. at the end of the day, it's all about power and leverage. And that's all Washington, D.C. is about.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Epstein, what do you think Epstein was about, my friends? That was about gathering, you know, damaging information on powerful people in order to control them. That's what that was. That was entrapment and making sure that they had enough on people who were making decisions, who were in positions of power, that the powers that be could control those people. And it's that's what they do. And I realize that it sounds like this bad spot. That's reality. That is reality. That's not like some conspiracy theory or some bad spy movie. That's the way that they operate. Yeah. That's how they, I mean, that I don't know how anybody could deny that or debate that at this point, but there are still people who, I mean, it's ridiculous, but here we are. I mean, listen, we're walking into another already we're in another election season, and people are pretending as if we have choices or that any of it matters. It does not. Yeah, it's all absurd.
It's all bread and circus. You know, it's the greatest yes. show on earth. Why do we start the election season 2 years before the election? So that way all the media can get their little fingers and tentacles into everything and squeeze it for every dollar that they can get. And that, you know, I remember when we were kids, it seemed like the campaign trail was, you know, maybe a year long, you know, some started 6 months ahead. They've really stretched that out so they can milk it for every yes. dollar it's worth. And now that it's changed and we're seeing that mainstream media doesn't have the influence on the everyday people like it used to, now they're buying up the influencers, right? So now we got a ton of yes. influencers who act like they don't know anything about politics, but they know that Joe Biden is absolutely the best. We're not going to have an election this time around where we're going to actually have candidates, where we're talking about issues, we're talking about solutions, what I would do if I got in. That's not going to happen. The Democrats are not going to let anybody come up against Joe Biden. We're not going to have any debates. Like, there's not going to be any primary. It's you got Joe Biden and whoever the Republicans get through. And after what we saw with Trump yesterday, looks like we're getting a repeat of, you know, 2020.
And again, we are going to have two credibly accused potential rapists as our options for president. That's crazy to me. But yes, and that's what's so frustrating, because it's almost as if when the DNC fraud lawsuit took place and they went into a court of law and said, hey, listen, we're a private company. We will do what we want. If we want to go in a back room filled with cigar smoke and choose a candidate, that's how we're going to do things. And you can't say anything about it. It's almost as if people should have walked away then and been like, oh, okay, our electoral system is completely broken. There is no reason to spend any time, money, energy, or effort in this system, and they should have just walked away. And instead, we get to go through this time and time again. They're going to continue to throw sheepdogs and salesmen at us every 4 years that are going to spark our interest, and then we're going to crawl back into the electoral system that is designed to kill us all. And it's so frustrating. It's the hamster wheel, and it's so frustrating to me that we have to. And again, like you said, it's now dragged out for so long that we are spending almost 2 full years in an election cycle. And really, it's just a constant election cycle, because midterms, while they are less intense, is still an election cycle. And it's just exhausting. It is genuinely exhausting at this point.
It is so exhausting. And, I want to put time into it, Missy. I was an elected Democrat during all of that for like the last 8 years. I was inside the Democratic Party, and, I'm going to stay. You say, why didn't anybody leave after the DNC lawsuit? Because we were still in there thinking that we had support on the inside. People like AOC, people like Ro Khanna, we thought that, okay, if we could just get our toe in the door, then maybe we could push some of these issues, get a seat at the table where we can help people, actually help the people, our neighbors that are hungry, that are not making a livable wage, that can't afford to go to school. That's what we were trying to do. But for so many of us, we just saw firsthand from inside the machine that you are never going to change money is speech. No. and you're never going to change the power of that money and those at the top who wield it, no matter how many people you gather up locally to come into your local chapter. You cannot overcome it.
I wonder if we could get Mr. Beast to buy a couple politicians for us. That'd be cool. All right, we got to get some quick headlines. We'll be right back in just a minute here on TNT Radio.
Here's what's making news.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. High-ranking government and military officials from 37 nations have gathered in Iran to discuss an emerging new world order. Pakistan's former prime minister has been released from detention after the country's Supreme Court ruled his arrest was unlawful. And Twitter boss Elon Musk has announced private messages sent through the site will now be encrypted, meaning they can only be read by the sender and the recipient.
This is the Misty Winston Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hey, Elon, those encrypted DMs are pretty cool, but why are you making some World Economic Forum stooge your new head of your... Why? Why, homie? You got some answer. You got some splaining to do, sir. That's not a good look. Okay, so you just mentioned Ro Khanna, Shanda, and I want to talk about him because... And also, I'm going to use this to segue into a conversation about the ridiculous infighting in quote-unquote leftist circles, because Ro Khanna recently screwed over Medicare for All again, as... is not a surprise to anybody, or it shouldn't be, but apparently it's shocking to some. I think that this, this is what I'm talking about. Like, Ro Khanna is somebody who has had meetings with activists for Medicare for All. He has sat down with them and listened to their sob stories and, held in his hands their mountains of bills. And he still screws everybody over. He pushes platitudes and tells you what you want to hear when it's convenient and then screws you over when it counts. And yet we still have people who think that that's an adequate way to go about getting substantive change. And do you think there's ever going to be, like, what is it going to take? That's what I'm genuinely curious. What do you think it's going to take for people to be like, okay, this is not working?
Okay, so I actually have been on the inside of this because I was one of the on-the-ground conceivers of Whole Washington. I was at the very first inception meeting. So we spent a lot of time at our state capitol in Olympia testifying before the healthcare committees. And here's our problem. Every person that sat on that damn committee was taking lobbyist money from big insurance, big pharma, These huge power conglomerates of healthcare that are in our country. We all know them, Cobra, Molina, you know, that's who they talk, that's who they bow to. So Ro Khanna, he will look you in the eye and he will say, oh, I'm so sorry for everything you've gone through. And yes, we want to change it. But at the end of the day, he can't change how those people will ultimately vote on the legislation to pass it. I mean, and we see that at every level, you know, right down to Joe Biden. Oh, I would never sign that if it came across my desk. I mean, but here, I'm going to vote for Joe Biden. Why are you voting for Joe Biden? He just told you he would never sign Medicare for All into law, you know, and now what does that even mean? You know, I was such a passionate Medicare for All activist. My partner is a type 1 diabetic. He had a massive widowmaker heart attack at the age of 42 years old because we couldn't afford his insulin for like 8 years, $750 a month just for the insulin, not all the medications they wanted him on. And it's scary for a 42-year-old to have a massive heart attack. I mean, he had a triple or a double bypass. And, you know, thank God he's alive today and he is on healthcare now, because in Washington state we have Apple healthcare. But ultimately, you know, the money that's being made between big pharma and big insurance, until we overcome that and we start pulling money out of our politics, we're never going to pass anything. And when we do, it's going to be authoritarian. It's going to be, yes, this is your healthcare and this is, you're going to do what we tell you to do. If we mandate that you have to go get all of these sniffle injections, then you're going to have to, because, and then and death boards. I mean, I hear a lot of talk about death boards if we pass Medicare for All. So as a passionate Medicare for All activist, I'm lost right now. And I feel the same way about the Green New Deal. Missy, yes. I have been passionate about fighting for our environment. You know, I live in the Pacific Northwest. We fight for a lot of clean air, water, you know, everything here. But who is it hurting most? It's hurting the poor working class. You know, you look at this net zero plan that Ro Khanna and AOC are supporting. They want to take 60% of vehicles off the road by 2030. What does that look like for me and you trying to get to work? Or the 90% of airfare travel that's gone by 2050. We're never allowed to go see grandma on the other side of the country anymore. But we can't even keep our trains on the tracks. But we're just going. I could see if we had high-speed rail and we had all these alternative ways to travel that we could reduce individual traveling. But we're not even talking about that. We're just like, nope, everybody turn over your cars. If you buy a smart car, even though it's powered on coal, you're really doing good. You know, like, we'll give you a tax break. I just am completely baffled. I feel like I'm standing in the middle of everything that I fought for so many years, going, whoa, guys, you guys are going down the wrong road. Whoa, like,
yes.
Come back.
Yes. And I think that's, and what makes me very frustrated about, and I think it's because a lot of that crew, at least in the Medicare for All situation, I think that crew, a lot of them fell for the COVID stuff. And I don't know that many of them have come to terms with the fact that they've been lied to and manipulated. And so they bought in hook, line, and sinker. And I think a lot of them are probably in support of mandates, and they probably are in support of masking, and they are probably in support of, you know, like Noam Chomsky said, let them starve. I think that they probably agree with those sentiments. And that's what's so, I think, honestly, the COVID years, and I knew that this was an issue prior to COVID, but I think COVID, the first couple of years of COVID in particular, made me realize just how many people are actual authoritarians. Like, they want to be told how to live, where to go, who to talk to, what to think, what to say, what to wear. Like, they want that. And it's weird to me. That's a very strict, I don't understand that mentality in any way. So it's, I don't know how to even have conversations with those people. I just don't. But that's, I mean, the COVID, you're absolutely right. COVID made it, there's no question that we need to have a better situation, a better system of healthcare in this country. However, I am in great fear that need is going to be manipulated in order to usher in more power and control. And that is not something I'm willing to bend on at all in any way. It's just not up for debate. You know,
well, I mean, and the thing is we see it coming, and it's up to all of us to say no and to push back, you know, and I know it was hard during COVID. You'll lose your job. You'll lose your, you know, there was people lost so much just by drawing that line in the sand and saying, no, I'm not going to cross it. But we're going to have a lot more of those lines that are going to be crossed
yes.
in the next, you know, 10 years, 20 years as AI comes in and pushes people out, as, you know, I believe they will give us health care, but it will roll out after we get the CBDCs and they do away with cash. You know, I've been traveling a lot lately. And Misty, you can't use cash. I mean, even to get on a monorail or to park your car, I mean, you got to have cards and accounts and they want to track everything. I mean, it's yep. here. It's now.
And no,
we
yes.
need to push back.
We do. And CBDCs terrify me. I think it's probably too late. You know, our friend John Graziano posted on Twitter that CBDCs are really dangerous. We need to fight back. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm pretty sure we're too late. You know what yeah. I mean? We're so far gone on that one that it's, and that's what's so frustrating though, is that I feel like people don't even recognize or deal with these things until it is too late. And we could have been, I mean, there have been people who've been sounding the alarm about CBDCs for years.
Yeah. Literally. 10 years, 12 years. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And we let it get to this point. That's very frustrating.
Well, don't worry. We'll have our new, what is it called? The Fed coin. I can't remember what it's called, but it'll be rolled out in July. So yeah, it's too late. It's already happening. And it's that way with so many of these systems that they're rolling out. And that includes the net zero. Now, I love that RFK Jr. is talking about the mandates and, you know, the harms of big pharma. But there's a couple of issues that I just have a problem with him. And that is his net zero stance. I get it. I know the earth is burning to the ground. I see the pollution. I know. But handing over authoritarian to the corporations and letting them set policy that affects all of us at the bottom is not the answer. And I think they just don't even understand it. I mean, like, take chemtrails, for instance, just trying to get people to understand that chemtrails are real and that they admit they're real and that there has been testimony in front of Congress that it was even on The View last week. Oh, look, they're chemtrailing our skies. They still will flag a Twitter post that says it's a chemtrail. I mean, just getting people to believe these things are real. I'm sure there's plenty of people that think CBDCs are just a made up.
Yes. Thing, yes, know? For sure. But here's my biggest issue with anybody, RFK, Marianne Williamson, AOC, doesn't matter. Any of these people who pretend to care about the environment and claim that they want to make a difference and they want to whatever. None of them mention the impact of the military industrial complex. And that's yes! when I know you're a fraud, because that is the biggest polluter. And I don't want to hear a word about any kind of net zero anything until you talk to me about the military industrial complex, period. Okay, we have to take another quick break. Everybody, hang tight. We're going to be right back in just a couple minutes right here on TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
I continue to monitor the progress of the developing Bay of Bengal cyclone, which is going to hit very close to the border between what used to be called Burma, I guess it's Myanmar now, and Bangladesh, which used to be East Pakistan. So I'm trying to keep up with my geography here. Some of the worst cyclone disasters in history have hit in there. And it looks like Sunday or Monday it may hit with winds of over 150 miles an hour. We'll keep you informed. Meanwhile, the situation is growing dire in Texas for the weekend and early next week. Now, we all know about the immigration situation, but excessive rainfall, 6 to 10 inches, are liable to fall across much of Texas from the Texas Hill Country to the Rio Grande River Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Those rivers will go out of control. And the fact of the matter is, we're also seeing a setup for what could be a tremendous flood in the middle of the summer in the central part of the United States. Similar to 2011, we had record-breaking snowfall in the Rockies, and now we have heavy rains going on in the Rockies. So there's a lot going on. We're keeping you informed on it. Believe me, it's nothing that is not natural, but all part of the weather, even though that kind of weather may be tough to enjoy. Still, shake that off and enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
So I wanted to talk with you and your mom today, Lily, because some people at school have noticed changes going on with you, and we're concerned.
Like what? Who?
Some of your friends, teachers. It sounds like you've lost interest in a lot of things lately. You're hanging with new friends.
So,
individually, maybe those things are no big deal, but taken together, and then the incident the other day, you were with Derek when he was caught selling marijuana.
Yeah, he was selling it.
Honey, we know. But we care about you and want to know what's going on.
That's right. We just want to understand better and see how we might help. And if weed is a part of it, we just want to make sure you understand the negative consequences for someone your age. The physical and mental health effects. The poor decision making. And the confusing legal aspects these days. So what do you say? Can we talk?
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Misty Winston on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, we are here with Shanda Masta. And like I just said before the break, that's, to me, it is impossible for me to take anybody seriously who's talking about the environment in any way if you are not talking about the military-industrial complex, yeah. Because that's it right there. I mean, that's it right there. You don't have to go, yeah. You don't have to take away everybody's cars. Scale back the military dramatically, problem solved.
You know? Absolutely. They are the biggest contributor, and nobody ever brings it up when they're out there screaming on the front lines about, oh, Ukraine. They got their Ukraine flags out, you know, and that's Marianna Williamson and RFK Jr. You know, they're both seeming to, well, I would end the war, but for now we need to support it. It's kind of the mm-hmm. stance they're taking on it. And for me, that's like, what? At least Trump did the I would end it now type of answer.
Not only did he say I would end it now, but then he also refused to denigrate Putin publicly. And yes. I don't often agree with Trump on anything, but that is the right position to take. It doesn't matter what you think personally about Vladimir Putin. If you are the leader of the free world and you are seeking to end that conflict, then you need to act in a way that is diplomatic, at least in public. And you certainly don't want to go out there and insult him and call him a psychopath or a war criminal or whatever it is, because that person is not going to want to negotiate with you if that's the position and the tactic that you take. And I think that is just basic understanding of strategy and the idea that decorum. Donald Trump gets it. Yes.
Yeah. And yeah, Donald Trump, Donald gets Trump that has decorum. I mean, come on. Right? That's insane that he's outstatementing them, you know. And I don't think that there's any decorum left. And I watched that, you know, and just shaking my head like, if anything, he's goddamn entertaining, isn't he? And he always has been. And, you know, that's what draws so many to Trump. Oh, he tells it like it is, you know, and he's right. You don't go around calling another world, you know, another leader country, a war criminal, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, he's in it to win it. It looks like.
It's crazy to me that that's where we're at, that Donald Trump is the statesman in this situation. Like, that's absurd to me that we are that far gone, that's it. But listen, I need Donald Trump supporters to get over it. Dude does not care about you. Please stop it. He does not. He is not. He doesn't. He's not going to do anything he says he's going to do. He didn't the first time. He's not going to do it the second time. He is lying to you. He said he was going to drain the swamp. He hired the worst swamp monsters we've ever seen. He hired people like Brennan. He hired people like the Death Walrus. Why do I always forget his name?
My favorite Trumper was Spicy. Spicy was my favorite one.
Yes. You know, but like, seriously, the worst people, and he put them in his cabinet, appointments to his cabinet, surrounded himself, and they're like, didn't know.
You're talking about John Bolton, right?
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Yes. I'm terrible at names. I just call him the Death Walrus.
They come to me. He is the Death Walrus. And he's still out there pushing for a war, isn't he? You see him. Yes. Who features him now? CNN features him now, I want to say. I've seen him pop up over there. Probably. Doing interviews. Yeah, you know, and they all just, it's par for the course. They just change musical chairs, you know, like, oh, well, I'm not on that side anymore. So now I'm on this side. And it'll be interesting to see what happens in 2024. I mean, what does it look like, Misty, if Trump does win, with the amount of hate that he has on him in Washington and from the Democrats? What does that look like for us as a country if he is elected? And what does it look like if not? Then we have more Biden and more of Ukraine war and more of people starving in our country, homeless camps and Bidenvilles. Either way, I just feel like we're so screwed.
We are so screwed. I say that all the time. I don't say we are so screwed. I use other words, but we are. We are definitely right. Very, very screwed. I keep trying to warn people to. I will apologize publicly for making fun of preppers. I was wrong. You were right. Get ready. Because I think that we are definitely already in the experience of the collapse of empire. Look around, take mental notes, suck it all in, because you are living in a historic a breakdown of empire. And that I think that we are well past the point of no return. I think it is inevitable. I think that it's just a matter of how and when. I think it's probably going to be a slow trickle of hopefully there's not like a big event that throws us into a catastrophic freefall. That's not off the table. But I think it'll likely be a slow drip of the United States losing power globally. And it's going to get really, really bad, unfortunately, for a lot of people. And you're right. Like we're almost certainly going to be stuck with a repeat of Trump versus Biden. Trump, if that's the case, I can't imagine Biden beating him. He can't even put together a coherent sentence. And after watching Trump at that town hall,
didn't a million Democratic votes just enter the country? I know that's terrible to say, but that's the reality of mail-in ballots. And, you know, yeah. I used to be a Dem who supported mail-in ballots. And yeah, I mean, it's hard to say because, you know, if you believe what happened in 2020 happened or if you believe something else happened, either way, I don't see Biden getting that kind of votes this time around. So,
yeah,
just depends.
Well, it doesn't really
have control.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't really matter what happened in 2020. It doesn't matter if it was rigged for Biden. It doesn't matter. What matters is that our elections, if an election takes place in the United States of America, it is not a good election. It's a garbage election. It's not a real legitimate election, period. End of story. Sure. Our elections are garbage. It's not up for debate. It's not up for debate. When a 12-year-old can hack into your voting machines in under 10 minutes, and you're the United States of America, and you can't. Seriously, I say it's fascinating to me that in the year 2023, we're the democracy country, right? We like election. Like we're very proud of ourselves about voting, right? Like I love to vote. Whatever. We can't put together a real election, and we can. It's a choice. But the idea that we do not have free and fair elections in this country, and everybody seems to be just fine with that, peachy keen, jelly bean. That's bizarre to me. Like we don't have legitimate elections, and the idea that anybody partakes in that system and thinks otherwise is strange to me because it is abundantly clear. Again, we had the DNC walk into a court of law and be like, we'll do what we want.
Yeah, we just live under a delusion, Misty. I feel like I just live in Delusionville. Okay, yes. We're going to pretend that Bernie Sanders wasn't robbed, during 2016. That didn't happen. Oh, 2020. Well, nope, there wasn't more votes than there was people. That didn't happen. I just feel like I'm living in Delusionville. And it's like, no, you have to shake your head and say, yes, you believe the delusion and move forward. And it's that way with so many topics now. Just like,
yes.
You guys are completely delusional.
Well, I think I have a theory about this. I feel like it's I'm not somebody who's ever really bought into the lie of this country. I've always been skeptical of the things that I've been told, not to the extent that I am now, obviously, but I've never really bought into it. But I do think that we, as I've said many times, we are bombarded with propaganda from the moment we exit the womb. And we are led to believe that we are this great country, that we are good and that we are virtuous and that we are, we are always trying to do the right thing and all of that stuff. And so I think it's really difficult for people to wrap their head around the fact that everything that they ever thought that they knew is a lie. That's heavy. And I think
it
people,
is, and that's what it comes down to. Sadly, when you go down that rabbit hole, that's what you come out with is, oh my God, I've been lied to about everything my entire life. Everything they taught me in school in history was a lie, everything.
Yes.
And I had that moment. I want to say it was probably 2017 after, and it took me falling down the WikiLeaks for me to realize it. I was still buying the our elections are good and our politicians, we get behind them and it's grassroots people that get it done. And then I had a realization, a wake up to the reality of it. I think, most of us get there eventually. But I remember as a kid, my mom, like, don't watch that TV. That's propaganda. Come on, mom. How are my cartoons propaganda? Now I watch cartoons with my grandkids. I go, oh, my God, look at all that propaganda.
It's propaganda. Yes. I mean, seriously, people argue with me all the time about this because in my opinion, and I know other people have said this too, but in my opinion, the United States is easily the most propagandized population on earth. It's not even close. It is not even, and people are like, oh, but North Korea, oh, but Russia. You're crazy if you think they have anything on us. You are literally being bombarded from every possible angle, from the moment you wake up until the moment you go to bed, from the time you exit the womb. That is it. It is constant. It is a constant barrage of garbage.
message and of propaganda and of manipulation and narrative control. That's what it is. They are manufacturing your reality for you. That is what's happening. And I realize that that is also too something very difficult to wrap your head around, but that's what's happening, period. And we're all susceptible to it. Even those of us who are aware of it, we are all there's absolutely things that I've fallen for. There's absolutely things that I have been wrong about, that I've been manipulated into believing that turned out to be wrong. Absolutely. We are all, nobody is immune to this stuff. It is a very sophisticated game. They know exactly what they're doing. They have spent decades studying it. And yep. It is terrifying, frankly.
Well, capitalism, it's a hell of a drug, ain't it? You know, that you've got to consume. You got to want, you got to be better than the neighbor. You know, that's the drive we're given, I think, from the, you know, minute we're conscious of the society that's around us in capitalistic Western society.
Yes. And I just don't know how we get off of that. How do we get off that ride? You know what I mean? I just don't know.
Give up the materialistic wants, build your community, start building parallel, structures. Yeah. Which people are like, how do you do that? The FBI will come in and raid you if you, you know, and that's true. But you can have your communities where you're trading eggs for bread that somebody else is baking, or I know how to sew and I know how to do that. And what it ultimately comes down to is our trades and our skills is what we're going to need to trade off of in the future, because we're not going to be allowed to earn money unless we're in their CBD system.
Yeah. And that's if you are good, if you are a good little soldier, if you are a good little robot and you don't step out of line and you don't speak anything that is against the narrative. And if you, your social credit score doesn't drop below the acceptable level, you'll be allowed to participate in society. But if you dare to step out of line, they will ruin you. They will take away your ability to work and provide for your family until you decide to get back in line. And that's where we're headed. We're already there, really. But it's so frustrating to me that people are incapable of seeing that, because I feel like it didn't have to be this way. Like, we didn't have to get to this point. And it's just, you know, again, I think I understand, I'm sympathetic to it, because I do realize that it is incredibly difficult to come to those realizations and really like grab onto it and accept that as a reality. That is a lot. That's really heavy. But it sucks, because my kids are going to suffer the consequences of that.
That's what kills me too. That's why I'm in this. My first granddaughter was born in 2012, and I looked around going, oh my God, look at this world we're leaving these kids. So I was like, I'm going to go fight. We got to get them living wages. We got to get them education. We got to get them clean air and water and food. And I had a congresswoman turn around and look at me and go, I go, my kids can't drink oil. She goes, get over it.
Oh my God.
These are the same people telling me that I can't drive a car any longer. This was a Democrat too. Get over it.
Surprising.
Don't you have kids too? Don't you have grandkids too? I'm so shocked. Get over it. I mean,
well, their kids won't be drinking the oil. That's the thing. Their kids won't be drinking the oil. They are in a different class of people, and they are immune from those. Or at least they think they are. I think that they are overestimating their ability to control the collapse. And I think that there's a very, I hope there is no collapse, because I feel like we're all going to be very seriously and negatively. I don't think I even can comprehend how bad it could potentially get, because it is, we've seen empires fall. We have historical reference for this, and we are following the playbook like idiots. Like, we have not learned any lessons whatsoever from our previous examples. But unfortunately, we have all these examples of, we are by far the largest empire that has ever gone through something like this. The largest, the most powerful, the most wealthy, and the most armed. And that, I think, is what is most dangerous, because we are currently a wounded animal backed into a corner, and a lot of really terrible things could come from that as the collapse happens. And we have a lot of weapons.
I just watched Purge Forever. I think it's newest in the Purge series. You know, you watch the Purge series, right?
I think I've seen a couple of them.
Oh, gosh. I mean, they really get to the root of the hate in America, and the fact that we all are all armed, and that there's going to be huge pockets of resistance depending on how a collapse would happen. I mean, we could have a very slow slide where it takes us 20 or 30 years, or we can just start having food shortages at the grocery store, and then it's all out, every man for themselves. And I think that that really is what's that's instilled in us as Americans, is take care of yourself, take care of your family, right?
Yeah.
And that's scary.
Yes, and
that's scary.
It is. It is. Because people will fight back once it gets to a certain point. And that's, I wish that people were fighting back all along in ways, in peaceful ways, because they're going to reach a point where, yes, because there's going to reach a point where that's no longer an option. That's just real life. That's what I think is the most troubling to me, is that like I said, it didn't have to be this way. It didn't have to get to this level. If we had been wise enough to see this coming, you know, like you said, 10, 12 years ago, when people were warning us about this. I mean, Julian Assange is a great example. He's been warning us about this stuff for years, and we should have listened to him. Instead, we allowed him to be persecuted, jailed, and tortured to death, as is happening to him right now. And that's, it sucks. It's like, it'd be cool if we could recognize and appreciate and support our truth tellers in real time, rather than waiting for decades after it matters to be like, oh, they're such a hero, like we do with Martin Luther King Jr. or Malcolm X or Daniel Ellsberg, or, you know what I mean? Like, it's very frustrating. Okay. All right. We have a couple minutes left. I want to make sure you can talk about all your stuff, because like I said at the top of the show, you host a lot of shows. So hit us with all the links so people can find and follow you.
Okay. Well, my main show is Beauty and the Boomer. And of course, I am the beauty, and I hang out with my boomer best friend, and we just talk about current events, and we do it with kind of a satire slant. And that is every Saturday night. And yeah, you can find us on YouTube, Rockfin, Rumble, all of the regular places. I streamed on Twitter for the first time today, Misty. That was kind of
nice.
New. It looked really good. I figure, hey, if it's good enough for Tucker, it's good enough for me. And wouldn't you know, I was shadow banned over there like I always am. Good. Thanks for fixing Twitter, Elon. And then, of course, I do my own show called Trailer Park Pundit, where I have no filter. And we just tell you the world from the trailer park and how we see it. So you can follow both those channels. They're their own entities. So, and of course, Roar Media. Cool. Don't leave out Roar Media. Roar Media is a nonprofit which supports women in independent media. Amazing voices out there, like Miss Winston's voice. So, you guys know somebody who needs a little help getting a show produced, has something, you know, something to say, come check us out at Roar Media, because we're there to just help people out.
Yes. And it's cool that you guys do that. We need more women voices out there. And it's always cool when I see women supporting other women. That makes me happy rather than tearing them down.
Yeah.
You can also follow Shanda on Twitter at Chanmasta, Chanmasta. Follow her over on the tweeters. I'll be back tomorrow with Elizabeth Voss from Consortium News. Another great episode with her. So definitely tune in for that. Again, Monday, we're switching time slots to 6 p.m. Eastern. As Julian Assange says, learn, challenge, act now. Thanks for coming on, my friend. It's always great to talk to you. Do not go anywhere. There's more coming up for you right after this, right here on TNT Radio.